Recently, we've considered some exhortations from 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul wrote some brief but very compelling admonitions to believers. Rejoice evermore or always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And quench not the Spirit. Tonight, let's proceed to the next statement, and that's in verse 20 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Again, a brief injunction, despise not prophesyings. Last time we noted the character and ministry of the Holy Spirit, this one who gives us new life as we repent of sin and call upon the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. We also noted that the Spirit enables us to please God as we submit to Him and obey God's precepts. That brings us to this verse that tells us not to despise prophesyings. First, we need to know the meaning of the term prophesyings. There are two similar phrases that are often used to describe activity of prophesying. The two expressions are foretelling, F-O-R-E, foretelling, and forthtelling. And I'm sure some of you at least, if not many of you, have heard those two terms in connection with what do we mean by prophecy or prophesying so far as the Scriptures are concerned. Foretelling, F-O-R-E, foretelling, refers to God's enabling a person to predict future events, things that cannot be known apart from divine revelation. God inspired Old Testament writers to prophesy future events, things that have already been fulfilled, like Messiah's first advent, and things that have yet to occur. The early church experienced prophesyings as well in terms of predicting the future. Good examples of this are Paul's teaching about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. And, of course, most of the book of Revelation, in which John, the last living apostle, recorded future events of the tribulation period and beyond. And obviously, God's people are not to despise his revelations of future events. They really are a treasury of information which assure us that God's sovereign, eternal purposes will certainly be done. They will come to pass. And I thank God for such compelling truths that help us to know and serve Him better. I teach courses that involve eschatology or prophecy, things that are yet to take place that the Bible has told us about. And enjoy that and try to study and try to be consistent in interpretation and all that. So I don't think there's likely to be anybody who will despise or look down on God's revelation of the future. It's almost like he's whispering in his children's ears, now this is what I'm going to do, and tells us ahead of time. And then we can see it unfold in many cases. The second expression that is used for what the text calls prophesyings is the expression forthtelling. And it refers to a spiritual gift by which the Holy Spirit enables a person to proclaim God's messages to his people. This is what we call preaching. And one writer put it this way. Prophecy in the apostolic church was directly inspired instruction, exhortation, or warning. And much of that, of course, is recorded in our New Testaments that we have in the time of the apostles, the first century in particular. This person who wrote that was drawing on a passage in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul gave specific encouragements and instructions about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to read a portion of that passage in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul wrote, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Paul went on to say that he wished every one of the Corinthian believers spoke in tongues. That means languages that they did not know. But he wished even more that they had prophesied. Prophesyings are God's means of strengthening his people in the truth. Through God's word, we have spiritual guidance. We have protection. We have spiritual encouragement. And we have spiritual confidence. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, the apostle wrote, "As every man hath received the gift," and he's talking about spiritual gift that God has given, "as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." And he gave the purpose in exercising any spiritual gift that God gives to us in a phrase toward the end of that verse 11, "that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ." And Peter summarizes there two different types of spiritual gifts that God gives to his people. Gifts that have to do with speaking. And gifts that have to do with ministering. And that's the way it's translated in that passage. But in all those things, in whatever gift God has given to us, we need to do it in such a way that God is glorified, Jesus Christ is lifted up. And Peter also mentions some specifics about these oracles of God. You speak for God to his people, you need to speak as God himself would speak. And Peter, in his two letters, gave us many reasons why we should certainly not despise prophesyings by describing what the prophesyings are. And I'd like to summarize, and I'll give you the references, but very quickly summarize what Peter says about prophesyings, not using that word itself, but of what God has given for his people that we should not despise and why we should not despise them. In 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11, it's the testimony of the Holy Spirit about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In verse 12 of chapter 1, the gospel that the Holy Spirit empowered witnesses who reported to us. In 1:23, prophesying the living, eternal, incorruptible Word of God, by which we are born again. And in verse 25, it's the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. In chapter 2, verse 2, it's the milk of the word by which we grow spiritually as we spiritually drink it in. In 2:6, it's the scripture which prophesied the rejection of the Messiah by many and the unique exaltation of Christ in God's plan. In 2 Peter 1:4, prophesyings are the great and precious promises by which we have a share in the divine nature. In 1:12 and following, it's the present truth which Peter, who knew he would soon die, wanted the saints to keep in their memory, things he had made known about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1:19-21, it's the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Prophecy that was not a product of human imagination and clever devising, but prophecy that holy men of God uttered while the Holy Spirit was carrying them along and flawlessly securing their words as God's infallible message. In 2 Peter 3:2, prophesyings are the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord's apostles. In 3:9, it's God's promise, revealing that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in verse 13, that there will be new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Peter referred to the prophesyings as epistles that Paul wrote with God-given wisdom that are part of the Scriptures and in which there are some things that are difficult to understand. These are specific references just in those two fairly short letters. Now, Peter alludes to that which God has given for the good of His people spiritually. These prophesyings that we should not despise. Paul's brief exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 tells us about the prophesyings, but we should not despise them. And it's probably good just a moment to consider that word. Just basically a dictionary meaning, to despise something or someone is to show contempt for, to look down upon, to scorn, to disdain, to sneer at, to make light of. Luke 23:11 says that Herod and his soldiers set Jesus at naught. And that is the word that's used there, that's translated here, despise. That is, they treated him with contempt. They had no use for him at all. And we should certainly not treat the written word the same way that his enemies treated the Lord Jesus, the living word. One commentator said concerning 1 Thessalonians 5:20, "If we neglect the means of grace, we forfeit the spirit of grace." By prophesying here, we are to understand the preaching of the word, the interpreting and applying of the Scriptures. And this we must not despise, but should prize and value, because it is the ordinance of God, appointed of Him for our furtherance and increase in knowledge and grace, in holiness and comfort. We must not despise preaching, though it be plain, and not with enticing words of men's wisdom, and though we be told no more than what we knew before. It is useful and many times needful to have our minds stirred up, our affections and resolutions excited, to those things that we knew before to be our interest and our duty. Another wrote that the office of addressing mankind on the great duties of religion and of publishing salvation is to be God's great ordinance for converting the world. It should not be despised, because it is God's appointed means of saving people, because it's an influence that is wholly good. No man is made the poorer or the less respectable by following God's instructions. And we should not despise it, because he who despises it condemns that which is designed to promote his own welfare and which is indispensable for his salvation. I know I'm not speaking to people who would knowingly despise the preaching of God's truth. What's the evidence of that? Well, we gather regularly, even eagerly, to hear the word proclaimed. We pray for its good effect on those who need its work done in their hearts and lives. We seriously examine ourselves in its light, and we welcome the change that it makes in us. We don't despise prophesyings, proclamations from God's truth, the preaching of the word. It doesn't have to be a stupendous sermon, but it's God's word. It doesn't have to be delivered even supremely well. It's God's truth, and it speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit uses it. Finally, one of the writers said this: "Do not suppose that ye have no need of continual instruction. Without it, ye cannot preserve the Christian life, nor go on to perfection. God will ever send a message of salvation by each of His ministers to every faithful, attentive hearer. Do not suppose that ye are already wise enough. You are no more wise enough than you are holy enough. They who slight or neglect the means of grace, and especially the preaching of God's holy word, are generally vain, empty, self-conceited people, and exceedingly superficial, both in knowledge and piety. Obviously, he encourages the saints to pay attention to God's truth, no matter who brings it or how well it's brought, and not to despise prophesyings. Let's pray together. Lord, you've given us the truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you not only have given it, but you've preserved it. We thank you for not only giving it and preserving it, but teaching us what it says and what it means. We thank you for the work of the Spirit who illuminates your people. And we thank you for that with which he touches our hearts and moves us to action and to repentance and to accomplish the things that will be pleasing to you. And without your word, we would not know these things. And we thank you for giving it to us and for the regular occasions in which we can hear it. And we pray that we'll listen carefully to your words and that we'll read it when we can and we'll come to terms with what you've told us there. Thank you for those faithful men who have given us this truth and who regularly expound your word and proclaim it to us. And we pray that you'll enliven our understanding as we seek not only to know it better, be more faithful. Thank you for these exhortations and pray that we might live them out more thoroughly in our daily lives. We'll give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen.